So much for the weather forecast. They said it would be clear skies tonight. Instead, this.
To hell with the weather, Rocco. We have a job to do. Pride's still in the trunk. The nerve gas should have rendered her unconscious long ago. Pity she should be conscious for this.
The line of armed men raised their guns towards the trunk.
Purifiers, do your duty.
The car is torn apart by bullets, but they hear no screams. Eventually, the trunk opens and reveals...
Em, the car's empty!
That brat's smarter than I thought, and luckier. She can't have gotten far, though.
Anne raises her mutant detection device.
Aha! A signal bearing 205 at 100 plus meters. Has to be her. Fan out and cut off her escape routes. Shoot her on sight.
Over 100 meters away, Kitty Pride walks alone, afraid.
Ouch! It's so dark. Even with a full moon, I can hardly see where I'm going. I phased the instant I heard the gas jets, but I think some of it got me. I feel awful. I can barely walk, never mind phase. Some rescue this was. Poor Ileana. My phone has no signal. Where the hell am I? What's that? Voices! A fire! People!
Kitty rushes over to the firelight.
Help me, please! They're after me! Help!
But stops as she sees a group of less than savory looking men staring back at her.
Oh, we'll help you. We'd be happy to, wouldn't we, fellas?
Hey, my mistake. Sorry, fellas. I'll just be on my way.
Kitty turns and tries to walk away, but is tackled down by one of the gang, unable to concentrate to phase.
Leaving, little one.
Let go!
You want protection? It's yours. We do this for you. You do something nice for us, right?
Wrong. She's mine.
The gang look up, seeing Anne, her gun pointed at them.
Back off, nice and slow.
This is our tough woman. You don't give orders here.
This gun says different. Move away from the girl.
We six to you one, bitch. You gonna smoke us all?
If I have to. And unless you put that hand where I can see it, I'll start with you.
I've managed to catch my breath. I think I can phase. Now's my chance to run.
Kitty stands, leaps, and phases through a wall. And fires, but it just hits wall.
Damn!
Kitty is gone. The gang member takes his chance too, taking out a knife and throwing it at Anne.
Ah!
Should have kept your eye on me, woman!
Martin? Martin! He's dead! She killed Martin! Kill that bitch!
A few moments later, Anne is found. The entire gang dead around her.
Anne! We heard gunfire! But I guess you didn't need our help.
I had Pride, but these punks made me lose her. A mistake they'll never make again. She has to be close by. Get after her, Rocco. I'll head back to the car.
Meanwhile, Kitty finally has a signal on her mobile phone.
Xavier School, Kurt Wagner.
Kurt, it's me, Kitty. I'm on Rusher Street near Colson in the Bronx. I'm in trouble. The purifier.
Kitty phases just in time to make her intangible to the bullets. She runs. She reaches a train station, phasing through the barriers.
That train at the station. If I can reach it in time. Oh no! It's leaving! I have to...
She runs. She leaps and phases through the train wall. Landing on her knees as she becomes solid again.
Made it!
Holy!
The passengers all look up in commotion.
She came through the wall!
Who yelled?
The girl officer! She came through the wall!
You okay, honey?
Kitty looks up as the policeman walks over to her.
Let me catch my breath. Man chasing me, trying to kill me.
Don't be scared. You're safe here.
Hey!
The cart's roof tears open as purifiers drop in.
It's them!
Behind me, kid. I'll protect you.
The lead purifier shoots the cop.
Stand aside, people, and you won't get hurt. We're here for the brat.
The purifiers move in, aiming their guns at Kitty Pryde, as she cradles the wounded policeman.
I can't. Too tired. Do what you want to me, but please, help the officer. He isn't a mutant. He's not your enemy. He's dying.
Something we can pin on you. Rallying more people to our... What?
The cart tips, people screaming as they try to hold on, falling as the train cart is lifted into the air.
One chance, purifiers. Lay down your arms.
Another beauty! Waste him!
Very well.
The purifiers' weapons leap from their hands, crushed and twisted. But Magneto is not alone.
Our apologies, Katzen, for not arriving sooner.
Nightcrawler calls as he takes down one of the attackers.
Glad to see you left some of that opposition for us.
You purifiers seem most formidable against those who cannot fight back.
Colossus tears the purifier right out of his armored suit.
Say goodbye, assassin.
Magneto! With the X-Men? Guys, the officer's been shot. Forget the purifiers, we have to help him.
Calm yourself, child. I can remove the bullet.
Magneto raises his hand, and the bullet is pulled out of the policeman with precision.
But he is still in a critical condition. He needs a hospital.
Elf, where'd you port that guy to?
Riker's Island Prison.
Leaving the remaining purifiers for the police, Magneto transforms a chunk of wreckage into a makeshift flying carpet and soars downtown across the sky.
Who were those guys? Who the hell are you people? Why were they after the kid?
I am Magneto. These are the X-Men. Perhaps you have heard of us. As for the reasons, you'd best ask the man those assassins are sworn to serve, Reverend William Stryker.
Meanwhile,
Charles Xavier, you who are lost, who wanders in the wilderness, would you be found?
Yes.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already.
I believe.
Do you embrace the word, Charles?
Yes.
And myself as the deliverer of the word?
Yes.
Prove it.
Stryker gestures towards Storm and Cyclops, both still strapped down in their coffin-like devices.
I can't.
They are mutants.
They are my children.
Think not I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Are you worthy, Charles?
Yes!
Xavier leans forward, blasting out a wave of psychic energy that strikes Aurora and Scott.
Negative vital signs, Reverend. The mutants are dead.
See, Philip? Nothing to worry about. If he'll do that to those he loves most, think of how simple it will be to unleash him against total strangers.
Where to, Dr. Ramsey?
Home, George, for a shower, shave, change of clothes, and a decent meal. Give me an hour, then I'll need to head to the garden for tonight's rally.
No problem. Sounds like a pretty big deal, this rally. Is it true the president's gonna be there?
You want his autograph?
That'd be great, Doc. Thanks.
What the?
Surprise, sucker!
Kitty Pryde phases through the car roof, grabbing the doctor's mouth so he can't yell. And pulling him out with her, she phases them both through the car and out onto the street.
Wow. I've never done that with another person before. just objects in the danger room.
Get away from me! Wait, you're the Pride Girl, but that's impossible! You're supposed to be dead!
Philip calls out as a blue tail wraps around him, pulling him up into the air.
She has 9 lives, Herr Doctor. Didn't you know?
Put me down! You're choking me!
That's the least of your problems. We require information.
Never!
I was hoping you'd say that. We have ways of making you talk.
Nightcrawler bares his fangs and tries to look as menacing as he can.
But many more ways of making you die. This is a moment I've long looked forward to.
No! Please!
You know what I want. My patience is wearing thin.
The Stryker Building. Sometime later, 2 cleaners approach 2 lifeless bodies, those of Storm and Cyclops.
What's going on here? This is a restricted area.
Orders. Raven's got no more use for these muties. We're to dispose of the bodies.
How?
Basement incinerator.
I'll tag along.
Sure, but there really isn't any need. They won't give us any more trouble. Besides, shouldn't you be at the garden with Reverend Stryker?
It's early. I have plenty of time. Huh. What's this? The Rasputin girl?
Orders. Kids wanted downstairs for mutant examination.
A purifier replies, bringing Ileana onto the elevator with him.
Busy night. Ileana goes to 30. We drop all the way. What? We're going up.
Man, what do I do?
Anne reaches for her gun, but it flies from her hand.
The wall's magnetized, and the elevator panel won't work. We're climbing faster by the second. I can't stop it.
The elevator crashes through the roof.
If I could just get these damn doors open.
Anne gets her wish. The doors fly off. Without hesitation, Anne leaps for the rooftop below, trying not to think of the 600-foot sheer drop awaiting her should she miss. She makes it. Just.
They're leaving. They got what they came for. They must not consider me. We're bothering about.
She pulls herself onto the roof and begins to limp towards the roof door, back into the building.
That mistake will cost them dearly.
The elevator flies towards another rooftop, landing with a thud. Ileana embraces her brother as the others uncover the bodies.
As I feared, we are too late.
No! No, they can't be dead!
Relax, Pumpkin. They ain't.
Wolverine, the doctor,
is an idiot. He believed in his flaming machines. I say they're wrong. My senses tell me Scott and Roro are alive. In some kind of stasis. A jolt might revive them. Like a defibrillator or...
It's worth a try. We certainly have nothing to lose. Step back, Wolverine.
Magneto holds out his hands, forming a current and blasting the 2 lifeless X-Men.
Fascinating. Charles must have been resisting Stryker's programming on some deep subconscious level. He could not kill these 2, no matter how much he believed he should. Instead, he reduced their metabolic levels to the barest minimum, making them appear dead.
Magneto.
He saved your life, Scott.
What? Why?
Considering our past, your reaction is understandable. I'm not your enemy, X-Men. Nor do I consider you mine. My goal is, and always has been, to make a better world where our race can live in peace. The only reason we have had conflict is that you continue to fight, risk your lives for a humanity that would rather see you behind bars or dead. Why do you persist?
And your way is any better? A mutant dictatorship.
Do not take that turn with me, boy. I have lived under a dictatorship and have seen a family butchered by its servants. When I rule, it will be for the betterment of all.
Here we go. The same old spiel. I rejected your pitch when I was a kid, and I reject it now.
Contentment breeds tranquility. Discontent, rebellion. Therefore, I shall ensure the one by eliminating the root causes of the other. Hunger, poverty, disease, war. The freedoms lost will not be noticed, even in the most libertarian of states, and the material benefits should more than balance the scales.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you can make this utopia, though I doubt it given the methods I've seen. But say you did. How would you make it last? Who would keep the dream alive when you were gone?
Why do you think I want you and the other X-Men at my side, Cyclops? But all of this will be rendered academic if Reverend Stryker's plans are left unchecked. But consider my offer, X-Men. Should the fates be kind, we shall speak of it again.
This is John Cheever, ABC News, reporting from New York's famed Madison Square Garden, where within the house, Reverend William Stryker will give what is being heralded as the most significant sermon of his ministry. Invitations have been sent out to every major national political figure of both parties, and the few refusals are eloquent testaments to the crusade's clout. However, a growing number of religious leaders, including fundamentalist evangelical ministers, who only have begun to question the direction of his crusade. It is one thing, they note, to criticize government policy and the moral state of the nation, quite another to single out a specific group of people and brand them as literally less than human. To many, it betokens an attitude uncomfortably reminiscent of that held in Nazi Germany against the Jews. Reverend Stryker has said that tonight's sermon will lay all such doubts to rest. It remains to be seen whether this will be the case.
Inside, backstage, Stryker and his purifiers bring Xavier in and towards a large device.
Do you recognize the apparatus, Charles? It's patterned after your own Cerebro computer system. Like Cerebro, it amplifies your psionic sensitivity, enabling you to detect the unique brainwave patterns of both active and latent mutants. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, the number of the beast. And when you make contact with those minds, you will destroy them.
Reverend.
Anne, you look dreadful. What's the matter?
The X-Men. They stole Cyclops and Storm's bodies and Colossus's sister. Dr. Ramsey has disappeared as well. I think they kidnapped him. If he talks, if they learn what's planned for this sermon.
They are but a handful of children and misfits, Anne. And I am a servant of the Lord. What can they do to stop me?
Showtime.
Brethren, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Thus our race was born, until today.
In the stands.
Mercy.
Yes, Senator?
Does the President have any idea what Stryker is saying? Does he support it?
The President is a fair-minded man. He believes the Reverend's views deserve a hearing.
Among the crowd, two uniformed policemen watch as well.
So, what do you think?
I think I'd rather be watching the Mets downtown.
Well, crowd's eating it up. I don't know, partner, that preacher scares me.
We are beings of divine creation. Yet there are those among us whose existence is an affront to that divinity. God created man, the human race. The Bible makes no mention of mutants, so where do they come from? Some so-called scientists, humanists, say that they are part of the natural process of evolution. Are we now to let those who put forward that proposition that we are descended from apes tell us that our descendants, our children, will be born monsters? And that this is natural? I say no. I say never. We are as God made us. Any deviation from that sacred template, any mutation, comes not from heaven, but hell.
Behind the podium, a switch is thrown. The Cerebro device activated. The results aren't long in coming, as on the roof across from the garden, the X-Men call out in pain.
My head.
You all feel it too?
This is what Scott and I experienced when the professor mind-blasted us.
Look, down on the street.
Below, an innocent teenage boy grabs his head and falls to the ground, Nightcrawler teleporting down to him.
The boy is in agony. The bleeding from his ear and nose is evidence of massive internal hemorrhage. Have to ignore the pain. Have to concentrate. You there!
He looks to police guarding the entrance of the garden.
Call an ambulance at once! This boy is critically ill.
That's Nightcrawler! One of the X-Men! What happened to the kid? Did you attack him?
No, you fool! The boy is a mutant! That is why Stryker is murdering him!
As the police do as he says, Nightcrawler returns to the roof with the others.
How is he?
Very bad. But mostly, I think, due to his close proximity to Professor Xavier. Once he's moved away from here, he should improve.
Kurt! Your ears, you're bleeding! My head! I can't! My ears! Me too!
Just like the boy. We must be holding on longer due to our psychic training from Xavier. But I fear we will all end up like him if something is not done.
But what? If we attack Stryker, then we prove to everyone watching that we are what he says we are! And everyone on nationwide TV! Damn, this hurts!
However, inside, one mutant is not affected. Magneto crashes through the top of the iconic roof, taking matters into his own hands.
Stryker!
You, but how?
My helmet was designed for the sole purpose of blocking out Charles Xavier's mind. And since you have proclaimed Armageddon on behalf of Homo sapiens, it seems only fitting that you should meet your chief adversary face to face.
And I beheld another beast. And he has two horns like a goat, and he spoke as a dragon. And he had power to cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Behold, Magneto, most feared of the fearsome race, self-styled overlord of the earth, enslaver of its people.
Senator, we've got to get out of here.
No, damn it. See, Magneto's replaced the roof, good as new. He made an entrance, not an attack. But listen to what Stryker's saying. He's the real danger.
But fire shall come from God out of heaven to devour him. The devil shall be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, to be tormented day and night, forever and ever.
On cue, the PsyScan device is reprogrammed, refocused. Every iota of Xavier's power amplified tenfold and concentrated into an awesome blast of energy, directed at Magneto. Even his helmet does not protect him from that. His shielding from it and his trained mind hold, barely. But he is blasted down by the force. He crashes to the area floor.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And if you walk contrary to the Lord, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. We have forsaken the Lord. We have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. We have become a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers' children that are corruptors.
The crowd parts as Magneto tries to stand among them, that crowd around him now becoming an enraged, angry mob.
We have sinned and must atone for our transgressions with blood.
I underestimated Charles. In the past, he always held back, it would seem, for fear he might harm his foe. Not so tonight. I cannot survive another such psychic attack. I have never felt so drained of my strength. I fear I am too weak to even stand.
The roaring mob descends on him, wielding signs like pitchforks.
Get his helmet off!
Get his helmet off! He'll die for sure then.
But enough of my power remains to force this rabble back. One last defiant gesture. That is all it is. I cannot hold them for long.
They're gonna kill him! This is insane! Stryker's gone too far. Bad enough he claims the mutant race is evil, but to call for their summary execution? Ah!
Senator! Your ears! You're bleeding!
What the hell is going on here? What is that madman doing?
Satisfied that the mob will finish Eric Lyncher, Stryker has the device put back to its original broad purpose.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
As the riot towards Magneto continues to grow worse by the second, the two policemen now step in to restore reason.
Not if I can help it, Buster. Back off, you people! Hey! Stop! This is supposed to be a church service, not a damn stoning! Get back! I said get back!
Meanwhile, out of sight of the crowd, the X-Men have taken their chance to break in, engaging the purifiers backstage, all now in full costume, even Cyclops.
That momentary reprieve, for whatever reason, was enough. I can feel the device affecting me again. Slower this time, but growing. We have to hold on. We have to get to Xavier.
Beauties! Hey! Ah!
The man falls as Kitty phases through him, Cyclops' beam taking down the one next to him.
While Magneto holds everyone's attention on stage, Scott figures we can slip in, grab the professor, and get away. Hopefully before too much harm is done. That creepy doc said some kind of device is hyping the professor's powers. If I can phase through it, I'll short-circuit its systems.
Kitty is blasted back into the ground.
So much for that idea. He must have sensed me coming. That was a mind blast.
The battle is quickly joined in earnest. Ordinarily, the purifiers wouldn't stand a chance. But this near its source, Xavier's murderous psi-beam takes a terrible toll. The X-Men are literally dying on their feet. They have precious little time to stop their mentor. For some, though, it's too late.
Reverend, the X-Men are here, trying to free Xavier!
Anne, what? What have they done to you?
Stryker turns to her, but stops in his path when he sees blood running from her nose.
Blood?
The beam's affecting me. But that's impossible! That would mean I'm a...
mutant.
No! Reverend, dear God, I've served you faithfully. Don't do this. The device must be malfunctioning. Why are you doing this to me?
It's God's will, child, not my own. I am truly sorry.
You don't care? Do the lives of faithful men mean nothing to you?
I am set upon my righteous cause, Anne. Nothing and no one will deter me from it. A true daughter of heaven would have accepted her fate.
As she reaches out for him, Stryker grabs her.
Your resistance reveals your true allegiance. Mutant Hellspawn, I deny you. I cast you forever into the abyss.
He pushes her hard. She falls, back and off the stage, falling to the ground below.
Reverend! No!
She falls right onto her neck below. Cameras catch it all. Be it the device or the fall, by the time she rests on the ground, Anne is dead.
This is your fault! Let's get the freak!
The two cops move ahead of Magneto and hold their side pieces up to the crowd.
Nobody's getting anybody, capiche?
Take a walk, Buster, you and your buddies while you still can.
Backstage, the X-Men have just barely made it to the same room as Xavier, but still too far out from him.
Scott, we got no choice. We have to play it my way.
Do it, and good luck.
At his signal, Nightcrawler gets onto Wolverine's back.
I'm afraid double porting won't be pleasant.
I've ridden this ride before, remember? Ready when you are, Elf.
Nightcrawler and Wolverine disappear, and Cyclops fires his optic blasts, seemingly at nothing. The two men arrive at their destination, behind the professor. Cyclops' shots rebound off the wall, Wolverine extends his claws above Xavier's head. The blasts rebound off another wall. Xavier deals with the obvious threat. Unaware, till it's too late, that it was merely a diversion. The optic blast hits him. Xavier goes limp. The headache fades.
You cut things pretty close, Psych. Charlie nearly nailed us.
I had to. A moment too soon or too late, and he'd have telepathically spotted the plan in my thoughts and countered it. Same with the direct shot. The professor's good, but he lacks our combat training and experience. I figured he'd have problems dealing with simultaneous attacks from opposite directions. Either you or I would do the job.
Psych, your blast only KO'd him. My claws would have killed.
I know.
Cyclops lets out an optic blast, destroying Stryker's cerebro.
Then it is finished. We have won.
The night's barely begun, Peter.
But without his machine, or the professor to power it, Stryker is beaten. Should we not go before he can summon more purifiers?
I'm not running. It isn't the purifiers who are dangerous, but the man himself, his beliefs, his ideals. If we don't stand up to those here and now, then all we've done is delay an inevitable holocaust, one way or another. Us or him. It ends tonight.
Sounds good to me.
And me, Scott.
Count me in.
What are we waiting for?
And so, after removing Professor Xavier to safety...
Hey look, it's the X-Men, they're on stage! Yeah, they're crazy. Maybe. But they got guts.
On stage...
Good evening, Reverend.
X-Men, Storm, and Cyclops, but you're supposed to be...
Dead. We're full of surprises, Stryker, as you'll soon see. You've been making some pretty extreme charges against us, and we'd figured we'd claim equal time to answer them. You don't mind, do you?
Your toys are broken, Reverend. Your goons are beaten. It's just your word against ours.
Then I have nothing to fear.
Scott Summers walks up to the podium to speak so all can hear.
You're a lucky man. Thanks to you and people like you, mutants live in fear every day of our lives. And sometimes, those lives are very short. Less than a week ago, two children in Connecticut were murdered, Stryker. Condemned solely for an accident of birth. Would you do that to someone because of the color of their skin? Or their beliefs?
I do nothing, Cyclops. I am an instrument of the Lord. And whatever a man's color or beliefs, he is still human. Those children and you X-Men are not.
Says who? You? What makes your link with heaven any stronger than mine? I know our Lord. I love our Lord. But is that wrong because I look like this? You quote the scripture out of context when it suits you, ignoring the rest that teaches that God is love, in all forms.
We have unique gifts, but no more so and no more special than those granted a physician or a physicist or a philosopher or an athlete. It could be due to an accident of nature or divine providence. Who's to say? Are arbitrary labels more important than the way we live our lives? What we're supposed to be more important than what we actually are? For all you know, we could be the real human race, and the rest of you are mutants.
Human?
Stryker points directly at Nightcrawler.
You dare call that thing human?
More human than you? Nightcrawler's generous and kind and decent. He had every reason to be bitter, every excuse to become as much of a demon inside and out. But he decided he'd rather learn to laugh instead. I hope I can be half the person he is. And if I have to choose between caring for my friend and believing in your God, then I choose my friend.
Stryker now pulls out a gun and aims it at Kitty's head.
Let those blasphemous words, girl, be your epitaph.
The X-Men step up, lining up so as to stand side by side with Kitty. Together. Stryker narrows his eyes and squeezes the trigger. A gunshot. Stryker drops his gun, realizing that it is him who has been struck, falling down dead. Across from the stage, his killer lowers his weapon. The police officer in the crowd.
That cop shot the Reverend!
Yup, who was about to shoot an unarmed little girl. that's the word of God, sure changed some since Sunday school.
But what about the beauties?
What about them? They've done as much or as little as you clowns. As far as I'm concerned, they're free to go. And good luck to them. They'll need it.
A few days later, at Xavier's school.
High-ranking officials working for William Stryker's crusade were arraigned today on charges arising out of the recent activities of a group of his supporters who called themselves the Purifiers. Some of them denounced the indictment as religious persecution and predicted the eventual vindication of the entire crusade, swearing justice for Stryker's death.
A hollow victory, X-Men, whose hollowness is even now becoming more apparent. The man was killed, but his cause lives on. Already it is being said that Stryker's goal was right, only his methods flawed. No matter how hard you try, you cannot win.
I fear, old friend, you are correct.
Professor, your tone. I've never heard you speak that way.
Are you saying we should join Magneto?
Why not? I have spent my life smashing my head against a wall that refuses to be broken. Perhaps it's time we found a better way. Stryker made me a killer. Even though no one actually died, the intent was there. I swore, after Jean, that I would see no more X-Men die. If Magneto's is the only means to end that, then so be it.
I won't accept that, Charles. Granted, times are tough for us, and they'll probably get a lot worse. Granted, we could probably conquer at least the states, though the cost in blood would be staggering. But don't you see, either of you, we're human too. A different branch, perhaps, but the same basic tree. Such a fundamental shift in attitude can't be imposed. To have any meaning, it must grow from within.
Xavier and Magneto stay silent, hearing his words.
You brought us together to fulfill a dream, Charles. One born out of hope and the noblest of human aspirations. And we've sweated and bled, and some of us have died, to make it a reality. I'm not prepared to give up. The means are as important as the end. We have to do this right or not at all. Anything less negates every belief we've ever had, every sacrifice we've made.
You are all agreed to this? I see. And you, Charles, do you subscribe to your student's insanity, or will you join me?
Magneto holds out his hand.
Aye.
Xavier reaches for it, then stops, and pulls it back.
Cannot. As you reminded me, Eric, I taught them. I gave them their reason for being. I cannot desert them. If they are willing to give my dream a chance, then so am I.
You are a fool. You are all fools.
Maybe. But by the same token, chum, the world's got no shortage of windmills to tilt at.
I have wept over too many graves, X-Men. I will not do so over yours.
Don't go, Magneto. Stay with us. Help us.
I cannot fight for that which I do not believe, Kitty. Much as I would wish it otherwise.
Scott might be right, you know. We might win.
For all our sakes, mutant and human, I hope you do. But should you fail...
Magneto propels himself out of the window and into the night sky.
It will be my turn.
I feel so ashamed.
To be proven only human. As flawed and vulnerable as the rest of us. Where's the shame in that?
Tears now pour from Xavier's eyes.
Where indeed? I owe you more than I can ever repay. If there was ever a moment to justify my creation of the X-Men, this is it. Oh, thank you, Kurt.
Xavier takes a handkerchief from the outstretched blue hand.
But your words. It sounds like you have returned for good. That you have healed, come to terms with her death.
No, not yet. But I know now that I will. Someday.
Later, outside on the balcony that overlooks the gardens.
Would you mind company, Scott?
Never yours, my friend.
I have never been more proud of you. You said what was in our hearts both here and at the arena. I think for a moment you unnerved the professor. You became the teacher and he the pupil.
Labels again. The hell with them. He was in need, I helped him, as he would me.
The two hold hands for a moment, Storm embracing him in a hug. The two leaders then stand with their arms wrapped around each other, looking out as he speaks. The others soon joining them on the balcony.
That's what it's all about, really. Needing and helping. Caring for one another. And from that caring comes love. Which makes the world go round.
If only that were so.
God Loves, Man Kills, Part 2. Narrated by Brandon Hunt. Starring Omri Rose as Cyclops, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Joey Solis as Colossus, Maddie McGuinness as Kitty Pryde, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Daniel Earle as Magneto, Steve Porter as Reverend William Stryker, Victoria Savage as Anne, James Holyoake as Dr. Philip Ramsey, Shane Cochran as Rocco, Thomas Lee as Gang Member 1, Purifier 1, Purifier 2, Mob and Crowd Members, Oscar Stavemeyer as Gang Member 2, Purifier 3, Mercy, Man on the Train, Members of the Mob and Crowd, Harrison Jensen as the Policeman on the Train, Matthew Sharp as Policeman 1 and Crowd Members, Lamar Richardson as Policeman 2, and PJ Argento as The Cleaner. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Written by Chris Claremont. Adapted by Carl Dutton. Edited and produced by Carl Dutton. Main theme adapted from the original by Ron Wasserman. Sound effects sourced from freesound.org and pon5.com. X-Men and all characters therein are copyright of Marvel Entertainment and Disney. This is a non-profit fan production with no affiliation and no copyright infringement.